This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning, one and all. Welcome to a Saturday morning that offers up, I hope, a good temp a little bit later on today. I heard, what, 21 degrees? Yeah,
pretty gorgeous day again.
Yeah.
Gorgeous sunset, sunrise, lots of pink clouds, really pretty. Beautiful, beautiful time of year.
Absolutely.
And highly unusual.
And at some point during the show, I fully expect Charlie Dobbin, who is our master gardener, to look across the desk and look at me and hold her nose and go, P.U. Because Frank Proctor,
you just look
here,
a
by
bit
the way.
Scruffy.
Well, yeah. We lost power last Sunday.
The big wind.
Wind came through, blew down a huge tree in front of our place, but it knocked down the power line that runs through the forest, about a darn near a kilometer worth of forest. And so they've got to go through the forest now and lay a new line or, string it, whatever. And we consequently are living with the sound of a generator just out the side of the building. Oh, God. And it doesn't run everything. Like, we know hot water.
Charming. Well, what's wrong with a cold shower? Come on.
Yeah. Oh, God. Just the thought of it made me shiver. I'll be going over to my son's here in downtown Toronto
yes.
after the show.
I'm sure you're walking all over the place with a toothbrush in one hand and a towel in the other.
That's hey, about you. It. Yeah, hello there.
Do you have a shower I can borrow?
Anywho, here we are, The Garden Show, underway for yet another day. And my job is to really get the phone calls coming in, and you've got to have the phone numbers to do that.
That's right.
In Toronto, call 416-360-0740, and then anywhere in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. If you'll keep our little mantra in line here, it's call early, call often, one question per call. And if you're a first-time caller, let Sebastian know, our operator, and he will make sure to get that info to me. And that's what you're going to hear when you get to the airwaves.
The wings.
Yeah,
garden
your
wings.
Yeah. So what do you have for us, Charlie?
A couple things. Tomorrow, the Greater Toronto Bulb Society is meeting at 1:30 in the afternoon at the Cummer Park Community Centre, which is 6000 Leslie Street at Cummer. All are welcome. And that's a message that came in from Rosemary Dobson. She always kind of slides in her announcements, 10 minutes before the show. So thanks, Rosemary. Also, here's a kind of a fun one. Soupalicious Niagara will be held on Sunday, October 29th. So next Sunday at Balls Falls Conservation Area.
That's a great spot.
Yeah, 3292 6th Avenue in Lincoln. This is to benefit food growing and sharing program, the Plant-A-Row, Grow-A-Row program. You can learn more about that at www.growarow.org. So there's going to be 15 delicious soups for sipping, slurping, and savoring, all for the advanced ticket price of $10. More information, www.soupalicious.ca. Of course, all the proceeds will remain in the Niagara area to help support the food growing and sharing program. Also happening next Sunday, October 29th, right at noon through till 4:30 p.m., the Toronto Japanese Garden Club Fall Flower Show in the Kobayashi Hall at the Japanese Canadian Cultural Centre, which is at 6 Garamond Court in Toronto. $5 admission. Children under 12 are free. They will have a large display of the unusual but exquisite Japanese Fuji-type chrysanthemums on display. Mm-hmm. So if you're a chrysanthemum lover, get out to that because they will have some amazing mums there. That's all I got.
Oh, that's all I got? Oh, all righty. Well, let's give you a little bit of a rest there to recoup. You just exhausted yourself,
truly.
I know. And we're going to come back and say hi to Sharon and Wes Lorne in moments here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's say hi to Sharon, who is on the line from West Lorne.
Excellent.
Good morning, Sharon. Hi.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
It'll be another nice day.
Totally.
I wonder if we can keep this till Christmas.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
What I'm calling about is composting. I'd like to get out today and do some things in the garden. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, plants. Now, the refuse from pulling my plants and whatever, can I put everything in, like the foliage and the roots and the flowers and whatever in that too?
For sure. Do you have a composter?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I put everything in my composter. The one thing I don't put in would be like the woody stems if I'm doing some pruning and I end up with some, you know, real hard.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to ask you about, the different things that couldn't go in.
No, just because you can put them in. They just take forever to compost, decompose. So you'll end up with those kicking around for years. Whereas everything else, yeah, absolutely. Pop it all in there. I mean, technically, diseased plant material shouldn't go in. So if you have, you know, some mildew on some of the
Some of those
plants,
leaves with black spots on them, not good?
I don't mind. I leave those. Well, it depends which black spot we're talking about. The tar spot that we're seeing on the maples. Yeah, but you know what? I put everything in my composter.
Okay.
But I also, you want to sort of have an inoculant, if you will. You want to make sure that the decomposers are in there to do the decomposition. So that's all the bacteria and the microorganisms and all that sort of thing. So, I mean, if you have, if you've had, you know, compost in there, like good sort of gardener's gold in there already, then that's fine. Make sure there's a little bit left in the bottom and that will have all the good stuff to get your new debris breaking down.
I see.
But if you've never really used the composter at all, then don't hesitate to pick up a bag of composted manure or get a hold of something that's really got some life in it. You can get compost accelerators, those kinds of things.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And just get that in there as well. Get a little topsoil in there because the topsoil contains lots of good stuff too. And that just speeds it all up.
Like the kitchen waste and that, like vegetables and stuff and that in there and that too. And then I have got leaves and that too that
perfect.
I crumple up and throw on top of
perfect.
That too. So.
Yep, perfect. Yeah, I emptied a composter yesterday just because I'm always cycling through. I've got four composters. So I try to get them all emptied in the fall and then fill them all up again. Keep one for the winter. Yeah. Keep one for all the kitchen waste.
Thank you very much. And both of you have a great weekend.
Thank you very much, Sharon. And
a
great idea to be out there thinking about mixing up the compost, adding to the compost. Pick up some leaves. There's leaves to pick up just about everywhere. Maybe nothing's completely defoliated yet. But there's certainly leaves.
There's a lot
are
more to come. That's for sure.
That's right. Yeah. It's a process. You can't just leave those leaves out there. They're just going to suffocate the lawns.
Next, Charlie, we're going up to your neck of the woods,
Richmond
Hill. Yeah. There's Betty. Good morning, Betty.
Oh, hello, Charlie. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
I have called you before.
Uh-huh.
Not quite the same thing, but I have a huge hibiscus, one of those that you have to bring in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm a bit anxious about it now because it's still got about 40 buds on it.
That's great. So often they do. Is it so huge you're not going to be able to get it in the door?
Yeah, but, you know, should I cut the buds off?
No. Enjoy them. Well, some of them will likely fall off just in the process of getting it in and also keeping in mind that light levels are always lower indoors than outdoors. So often the tropical plants will drop the odd bud just through this kind of shock of outside to inside. But no, if you can leave those buds there, you should be able to enjoy some great flowers right inside your home. If you can get that hibiscus
into flower in the spring again.
Get
worn out?
Actually, you would think it would, but hibiscus are pretty good. They'll bloom just about any time.
Oh, good.
But do give it a big cutting back. Prune it back next March.
Next March.
Yeah, so that it will start, you'll have buds on it by June.
I guess it's this crazy weather, but it has gone a bit most peculiar this year. I mean, it's a peachy one.
Oh, nice.
And it's about 3 foot high.
Oh, nice.
And, but pink ones are coming too.
Maybe there's sometimes there's more than one plant in the pot.
through.
Right, so you can end up, like I have my I gave my mom one that's a twist. So it's yellow, red, and pink. Three different colors all twisted together.
They're so beautiful.
They are, I know. They're great
they
plants.
Really are. Okay, well, so I shouldn't cut them all
enjoy.
Off.
No, don't. Enjoy them.
Okay, thank you very much. I love your show.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Betty.
Appreciate it.
All right, have a good weekend. And keep it tuned right where it is, AM 740 Zoomer Radio. And that, of course, is AM 740 and 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. Now, we're heading toward a break, but just before I do, let me get the phone numbers on the air one more time, okay? In Toronto, 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. We'll be along to check in with Bob in Scarborough after these words.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, as promised, just before our break there, let's check in with Bob in Scarborough. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. And good morning, Frank, who no one seems to acknowledge that you're the co-host.
But... oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
Well, thanks for that. I mean, he's really just the under gardener.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd let him sit in this
very
studio.
Very lowly servant.
Well, just a quick, funny joke. I know that Frank enjoys them.
Yes, I do.
Anyway, this guy was driving down the highway, and he ran over this rabbit, and he flattened it, and he was so disturbed, he pulled over the side of the road, and he began to cry. So a woman coming in the opposite direction in her car, she noticed this fell at the side of the road, and he was very upset, so she pulled over and stopped, and she approached him, and she said, you know, she said, I was driving by, and she said, I noticed you're very upset. She said, is there anything I can do to help, or what happened? He said, well, I was driving down this road, and I ran over this rabbit, and I flattened it, and he said, I'm very distressed about it. And she said, just a minute. So she went over to her car, and she got this can, and she sprayed it on the rabbit. Lo and behold, the rabbit jumped up and hopped down the road, and every once in a while he would turn and wave. That guy said, that's a miracle. He said, can I see that can? So he gave him the can, and he turned it over and read it, and it says, resurrects hair may cause occasional waves. So he turned it over, and it said, hairspray. You had to be there, right?
Oh, that's cute.
Hairspray. I love it.
Anyway, the question is, I have a small Japanese red maple. It's about 6 inches high, and I'm wanting to get it from a friend and transplant it to my backyard. Is it too late in the season?
Nope.
Oh, good.
No, you know why? It's been such a prolonged fall. I mean, the soil is still nice and warm. That's what it's all about, getting the plants in the ground while there's still enough warmth in the soil to promote root growth right away.
So, I'm supposed to freeze next week and get snow.
No, I don't think so. I was just looking at the long term, even coming up. I mean, I'm not even seeing a frost. Like, looking at 14 days in the future, nothing like that. It's all low of 9. That's about it.
Well, I could stay like this till Christmas and then warm up, right?
Yeah. Well, that's all what right. Everybody's saying. So, yeah, get that in the ground today if you can.
Put any fertilizer in there or just plop it in?
No fertilizer. Good soil, proper planting location in terms of light levels and good quality soil. No fertilizer.
Great.
Water.
Yeah.
Bob, the other punchline, Bob, to that story is the fact that this guy watches the hare, the, you know, turn around every 10 feet.
The rabbit, pardon me, and
wave at him. And so it's a perfect example of a receding hairline. Oh, my God.
Not one of those. I do a comb over, though.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Well, nice talking to you, and it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of humor in the day.
You
right?
got it. You got it, my friend. Thanks for calling
Thank
in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Take care now.
Well, that's why.
Cute.
That's why Frank's here. He's the humor in my life.
Oh, there you are.
Yep.
Well,
bring a smile to my face and everybody else's.
Occasionally, a little snicker never hurts anybody. Okay,
that's right.
Tony in Toronto. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hello, Tony.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a plant which is called Mandeville.
Uh huh.
And we purchased this from the grocery store.
Yeah.
About a month, late spring.
Yeah.
I decided I should sort of bring it in because it's such a beautiful mm-hmm. plant. Mm-hmm. There's more flowers than actually leaves in it.
That's great.
And I'd like to bring it for the winter.
Is it in a pot or did you?
It's in a pot.
Okay, good. So what you want to do is wash it off. You want to get out your hose. Sometimes people will even mix up some soap and some water and just give the plant a bit of a wash down. Soap, water, shower, rinse off all that soap and water, drip dry, and then into your house into a sunny location, the sunniest spot you've got.
What about the soil? Do I have to change the soil, or do I have the original soil okay?
No, you leave the soil alone. If you're going to need to do some transplanting, we would do that in the spring. But again, if you're worried about just, you know, the odd little insect that might be in the soil, soap and water, same thing. Drench through the soil with the soap and water and then rinse through with clear water and, you know, drip dry the whole thing. So a thorough washing just to make sure you're not bringing in any critters, and then the brightest, sunniest spot inside your home, you know, facing south preferably, kind of in front of a patio door, and that plant will happily perk along all winter.
How long should I keep it out once I have sprayed it?
Just till it dries, so an hour or two. And then remember as well, you're not going to water it again inside your home until it's really dried out. And that could be weeks and weeks, because you're going to thoroughly water it before you bring it in. And plants use less water as the days get shorter.
What about the soap and water? Is the dishwashing liquid be all right?
As long as it's soap. Avoid detergent and try for soap.
Okay, I'm going to have to kind of cool it there, Tony.
Thanks,
because
Tony,
we're leading into several more questions. And you can always call back. I'd love to have you call back. All righty. In the meantime, it's off to another listener out there in Cambridge this time around.
Yeah.
Bobby, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to Charlie and to Frank.
Well, thank you.
What's going on at your place, Bobby?
Well, I have potted up several pots of perennials.
Uh-huh.
Including tree lily bulbs, with the intention of taking them with me when I move. Now, I had hoped I would be moving soon, but it looks as though I could be here until through the winter months, maybe even spring.
Oh, okay.
How do I maintain these pots now? I don't want to lose them all.
No, you know what you
They're
do?
My favorite.
So they were in the garden, like they were in the ground, and you've lifted them in preparation to move.
That's
what
right.
I would do is, that's great, you've done a good thing. Now, just take all those potted plants and bury them in the garden somewhere. Just sink those pots down under the soil, and they will survive the winter. No problem. Once the ground thaws in the spring, you can pop them out of the ground, wash off the pots, and put them in the moving truck.
Now, suppose we are able to move through the winter months. We find somewhere and we want to move on and take these plants with us.
Well, that's
and the ground is frozen.
Right. Do you have a shed at all on the
yes.
property? You do.
Yes, I
and
do.
It's obviously an unheated shed.
Yes.
Okay, once those plants are dormant, so once we've had a hard frost and they've gone to sleep, so for sure right now that hasn't happened, they're still perking along, I'm sure, but once they're truly dormant, you can take those pots, put them in the shed, because just leaving them outside on the ground, above ground, is potentially too cold and they could die. So that's why I suggested putting them under the ground. But if you could be moving in February, then what I would suggest is you take all those pots, put them in the shed, and depending on, you know, whether there's any insulation on the shed, like you just want to make sure that they don't get too cold. It's all right if they're, you know, -5, that kind of temperature. But as soon as we're getting 10 or 20 below zero, if it's that cold inside the shed, they could potentially die inside there as well. So just depending on the insulation level, you can use some newspapers, you can use old blankets, whatever, if it's you think it's going to be too cold
maybe
in the
styrofoam,
shed.
Styrofoam, something like that?
Yeah, even styrofoam, potentially. You just don't want to, like, they've got to go completely dormant before you kind of put them away to sleep. And yeah, just watch the weather.
And Bobby, my apologies, I didn't catch till right now that you are a first-time caller.
So. Oh, my God.
I was going to mention that before I hung up.
Yeah, that's
there
great.
There you go. Well, so
I should do this week, then, to get them into the shed this week.
Well, it's not no frost yet. Wait till we've got
wait till hard frost.
Wait till a hard frost. So, yeah, there's not.
Put them in the shed.
Yeah, all I'm looking forward here. It's all, like, double digits all the way down here. I mean, I'm not even seeing, like, four.
Right through to November,
there's a
the
four
30.
Degrees here in Toronto next Sunday, week tomorrow. But otherwise, everything's double digits. So it's a number of weeks yet. Just let them stay where they are, sitting outside. Water if you need to, because, you know, with this warm weather and sunshine, you may need to water. And so when they do go dormant, they should be quite saturated, or, you know, not soaking wet, but certainly well watered, mm-hmm. and then into the shed for the winter, and then you can obviously get at them if you need to.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, just the part about the newspaper. That is if the shed is not insulated.
Yeah.
Newspaper and put it around them. Is that what you're saying? Or wrap them in there?
Well, you could wrap them, just because newspaper will trap air. It's all about just some
crunch
air.
Crunch up the newspaper.
Yeah. I mean, actually, in a perfect world, you'd get cardboard boxes, you'd stick the pots in the boxes, and you'd crush up newspaper and put it around the pots if you were worried that it was going to get too cold. Mm. So I put a thermometer out in the shed just to get a sense. I mean, like I said, if it goes to 5 below in the shed, you're fine. But if it suddenly goes to 40 below outside and it's 30 below in the shed, then it's a problem.
It's trouble, yeah.
Now, that's not in the forecast.
Any longer. Just included in that is our tree lily bulbs. Is that the same thing?
Yep, they're all the same, but just get them dormant first.
Okay, good. Okay.
All righty, Bobby.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for joining us here on a Saturday morning.
And that was kind of cool, actually. The garden wings that Bobby got there are part of her moving her garden. Right?
There you
see, she's dug up her garden. She's got her wings. She's ready to go to move and take her garden with her. I think
that's
very cool.
Okay. As we say goodbye to Bobby, I better mention the lines again here. Mm-hmm. In Toronto, 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And I do believe we're headed maybe just around the corner here in Toronto. Pauline on the line. Good morning, Pauline.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent.
Great.
How are you?
I'm good. I hope my iris are good.
Let's hear about them.
Well, I can't find where they are, quite frankly. But this year, for some reason, we had so much growth that other plants sort of grew over, and I can't see the leaves. I know approximately where they are, but I think I need to dig them up and check for grubs.
So first off, you got to find them. So you'll have to go out to where you think they are. If other plants have overgrown the irises, you may need to do some digging out of some of those plants. And at the same time, you could lift the irises. The optimal time for lifting irises is August. And that's when we lift them. We, like you said, check for the grubs, because there are little borers that can get into the irises. And at that time, we do some dividing. Irises tend to get so dense and thick that they stop blooming. You have a lot of leaves and not a lot of flowers because of the density in the clumps that after a number of years. So every 3 or 4 years, it's a good idea to lift your irises in August.
Well, they did grow. They were about 3 feet tall this spring.
Uh-huh.
They grew really well this spring. But then, you know,
did they
the leaves disappeared and...
Well, they could. I mean, you could, if you wanted to, dig up a couple just to get a sense of what's going on. The leaves often will sort of fall over. Did you get good flowers out of them?
Oh, wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I'd get out there with my digging fork and tread carefully and pull back and cut back what's covering up the irises and try digging a few on the edge and take a close look at the roots. And if you do see evidence of borers or grubs, they're really obvious at this time of year. They're quite large. Then you should definitely dispose of any irises that have been infested with borers.
Okay, so it's never too late to check them out.
No, that's right. Better now. Like, you can't do it in the spring because you'd really limit the flowering. So if you feel that you need to do the lifting, do it now. But August is optimal. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Pauline.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Have a great weekend. Thank you. And keep it here right at AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Hey, Wanda in Scarborough, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
My question is regarding a lantana plant that I have in the ground, and I would like to pot it up. Do they have large roots? It's about 17 inches high and about the same amount across.
Not particularly. They're more, they have a fibrous root system, but what they have is a high level of vigor, so that even if you do leave some roots behind, you cut some roots, which you will, the plant should be able to spring back to some extent. Now, if it's about, you said 17 inches, so, you know, I'd be looking at a minimum of a 10-inch pot.
And, that big.
Yeah, if you can.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to need some potting soil. You cannot just lift it with all that garden soil attached to the roots and stick it in a pot and hope that it survives. You will have to take, leave behind some of that like garden soil and come in around the roots with some potting soil.
I do have potting soil.
Good.
Does it have to be moist to keep moist?
Yes.
Or
no,
when I first bring it in? Beautifully blooming now.
Yeah, I mean, the potting soil is probably dry in the bag, so you're going to moisten that. You're going to get that into the pot. You're going to get the plant into the pot. You're going to water it thoroughly, let it drain out on the patio or wherever, just till it dries down a bit. And then again, into your brightest, sunniest location inside the house. Do not water until it is really, really dried down. And it could be weeks. It could be 3 or 4 weeks before you water again.
Really?
Particularly if you use such a big pot, you know, a 10-inch pot. So, yeah, that's the one thing about bringing our plants in. It's figuring out when to water them. And it's easy to overwater at this time of year. So
kill them with kindness.
Yeah. And lantana is a very drought-tolerant plant. So that's why I'm suggesting let it really go get quite dry before you water again.
It'll have to be in a north bay window.
Oh, even less water then.
Okay.
Might be Christmas
before.
Will it keep
blooming or, like, do I cut back blooms?
Well, I would try to not. Technically, because you're leaving some roots behind, you should take some plant, some cut some of the branches and stems back. And again, technically, when you do transplant, you should remove flowers. But the reason you're bringing in is for the flowers. So
enjoy.
I would not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not cut back. I think you'll find as the winter progresses, some of the flowers will finish. You will be pruning them back. You may lose a few leaves along the way. So you're going to keep an eye. You may find yourself just doing some pruning because you'll have to, just for aesthetics.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, one.
My
thank
pleasure.
You.
Thanks for calling.
If I'm not mistaken, an old friend of ours, John in Mississauga, is going to be speaking to you very shortly. First of all, let's take a little bit of a break here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, AM 740 and 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Frank Proctor, the sous chef of The Garden, wondering indeed if I did have the right John in mind when I indicated we're going to be saying hi to John in Mississauga. Hello there, John.
Good morning,
yes,
Frank.
I
good
do.
Morning, Charlie.
Good morning, John.
I missed you for the last few weeks, you know.
Where? You were away?
Yes, I was in Malta.
Nice.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
Did you bring back some seeds for unusual plants?
Well, to be honest, I shouldn't tell you what I brought. I'd be arrested.
I know. As long as you don't bring soil.
Yeah.
No,
you can't bring soil.
Some olives.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Don't give them my address, please.
Okay.
No, I won't.
Anyhow, Charlie, I don't know. I have some seeds in the garage and... you know, grass seed.
Yeah.
Is it too late to just put it on? I mean, not that I need it, but it just to sort of, you know, thicken my lawn and all that.
Yeah. You could definitely do that. I mean, so the challenge is making sure that you get good seed soil contact. So when we're top dressing and overseeding, because we're just trying to thicken up our lawns, do get a little bit of soil as part of this process so that you've got a better chance. So little layer of whether it's topsoil or triple mix or lawn soil, you know, half an inch over the existing grass, then the seed,
you
and
rake
then
that
rake,
as well.
And then raking, exactly, and then water. We do have some rain coming later in the week, but for now it's...
Yeah, we do. That's why I asked, because, like I said, Monday and Tuesday, whatever.
Yeah. But you had once
on my boulevard, like I said in the past, that, you know, to me it's part of my property. So, but anyhow, so what I was wondering whether, you know, being October, it's still time to germinate.
That, well, that, it Based on the forecast, weather forecast, yes, because, again, soil is nice and warm. Air temperatures are optimal. If you can make sure that the seeds are kept moist, so we do have rain in the forecast, then we've got some dry weather. So keep an eye that these seeds are, once they start being watered, that they continue to be moist. You should see full germination within 10, 11, 12 days. And then just little tiny grasses, and they'll be fine. They'll get through winter because, again, they'll have a number of weeks to harden off, so to speak, in preparation for the winter. And then next spring, you don't need to worry about putting down grass seed. It's all ready to go.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, you, John.
Calling.
Always, always nice hearing from you, my friend. Gee, we're going to the town that I first started in radio.
Really?
CFCO in Chatham, Ontario. Hmm. There's Jean on the line. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm wanting to bring in my geraniums.
Uh-huh.
And what do I do?
Are they in pots or in the ground?
They're in the ground.
Uh-huh.
They're also in, some are in pots.
Okay. So the ones in pots, of course, are going to be the easiest ones to bring in because it's just a matter of giving them a thorough wash and bringing them inside. Did you? How were you hoping to keep them over the winter? Were you going to? Do you have a good, bright, sunny spot you can continue
put
to
them
grow?
In bags.
Right. So, do you have a cool, dark basement?
I keep them in the garage. It's insulated.
Okay. So there's that. So the way. Way, way, way back, people would keep geraniums by lifting them right around now. I mean, not so much because of October, but in terms of the weather we're having. Be nice if it was a little cooler. I mean, where you are, it's even warmer than we are. You know, we're in the 20s the last few days. These plants are actively growing. So you need a little cooler weather for them to start to really slow down. You would dig them up. You would wash the roots off. And you're right, you can bag them and put them into the unheated, insulated garage where they will remain dormant. So they will not be growing. There'll be no light on them. There'll be no water. But there should still be life in them so that when you check every month or so, they'll be a little rubbery, flexible. There won't be a lot going on until March. And in March, of course, is when you'll start cutting them into little pieces and do some cuttings from your mother plants.
Sorry, my BlackBerry was beeping there. I'm sorry. What did you say about before mother plant?
You'll just take some cuttings in March from the plants that you've dug. So the plants you've dug will never grow again, but you'll take pieces from them, and that's what you'll grow starting in March. And so you'll maintain the same genetics, the clones of the mother, but those mother plants will not go back in the ground.
Do I take any of the leaves off?
No, you don't need to take any leaves off. No, that's just, you're going to force them to go dormant, but wait until the temperatures are cooler, because right now they are nowhere near dormant.
No, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, Jean.
Thank you very much
for calling in from Chatham. I think it's the first time we've had a call from Chatham, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, then Jean was probably a first-time caller.
Well, gee whiz, I wonder. Just in case.
Yeah, better send some wings her
I'll
way.
Send some wings out there. Ellen in Brantford is on the line now. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm looking at my garden right now, and I have, for heaven's sakes, the blue tubular flowers that only grow in bad conditions, like... Never mind.
Not morning glory?
Morning glory.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I've got morning glories all over the place, mixed in with my roses that are blooming like crazy.
I know. It's been a great year for the roses.
Oh, it's nuts. Anyway, I'm calling about pruning the Japanese maple. Is it too late?
Oh, no, it's not too late. What kind of pruning? Just for shape?
Pardon?
What kind of pruning did you want to do?
I've got some crossed over branches.
Okay. At any time of year, you should always, on all your plants, be prepared to remove anything that's dead, anything that's diseased, or anything that's damaged. So when you've got crossing over, you do end up with damage. So never hesitate to remove dead, diseased, or damaged at any time during with any of your plants. You can, and Japanese maples, of course, sometimes need to be pruned because they get so dense or so big or whatever. So, yes, you could do that kind of pruning as well if you needed to. But remember, maximum 1/3 of the plant being removed at any one time.
Okay.
So
that's 20 feet tall, and it's 8 years old. It's just
wow.
doing beautifully.
Sounds incredible. It's very, very happy plant.
It is, yeah. Unfortunately, it's shaded a little bit by a spruce. I mean, that's a good thing. I thought I was putting it in a good place, but now the spruce is encroaching on it.
Yeah, that's really large in such a short time. So, yeah, you may want to consider and prune for balance, right? When a plant tends to grow, they tend to grow towards the sun, right? In the shadier spot, there's less growth, and in the sunnier part, there's, you know, so they get a little lopsided. Mm-hmm. So be prepared to take off some of that growth on that sunny side to balance off the less growth on the shady side.
Okay.
Thank you, Ellen.
Should I give it like a haircut to balance it, or should I go right back to the stem?
I'm not a fan of haircuts at all, ever, on Japanese maples particularly. You're going to have to really look at the form, and when you're going to just have to very judiciously follow down to a logical spot to remove some of the extra growth and ensure that the next growth that's coming, based on where you make your cut, is to the outside of the plant, and you're not encouraging a lot of growth to the inside.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right,
Yellen.
Thanks very much. Ken in Scarborough, hold tight. We're coming back to you here on The Garden Show next on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Let's scoot out to Scarborough. Hey, there's Ken. Good morning, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. I'm reading in one of my gardening books about preparing for next spring for trying to kill crabgrass.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about the application of pre-emergent herbicides.
Mm-hmm.
And he says you have to do it at the correct time. And then in parenthesis, it says that is when the forsythia is in bloom.
Yeah, well, that's about right. Yeah.
Well, when would that be, roughly?
Okay, so forsythia is the yellow blooming shrub that blooms in the early spring. Okay. So here, I'll just explain this to you for a second. So crabgrass, which many of us have on the property, is an annual plant. So those crabgrass plants that are maybe mixed into your regular grass will die in the frost and the winter. But before that happens, each plant can disperse up to 60,000 seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And those 60,000 seeds are going to sit there all winter waiting for optimal conditions in the spring to grow.
Okay.
And that's where the pre-emergent herbicide comes in, because a pre-emergent herbicide applied to where some of those crabgrass seeds are sitting there waiting, ready to go, will not allow those seeds to grow just by virtue of a chemical reaction.
Right.
So what we use here in Ontario is corn gluten meal. So often that's mixed in with a spring fertilizer. And yes, the time to do that is – and so when does the forsythia bloom? It just depends on what kind of a spring we have. It could be as early as April. This past spring was such a late spring, I think it was kind of late May by the time the forsythia, mid to late May when it was, the yellow flowers were on the forsythia shrubs, and they're everywhere. Like once you kind of know what they look like, then they're all over the place.
Yeah, it's sort of a nebulous description, isn't it, really?
I think I better case out the neighborhood and find a forsythia plant.
That's right.
Well, look it up on the web or check, you know, in one of your books. Get a sense of what a forsythia looks like. Very bright yellow, very cheerful plants in the spring. You can't miss them.
Okay. So the timing is kind of critical for this pre-emergent herbicide.
That's right. If you put it on too early, it will just sit there and potentially wash away in the rain. If you put it on too late, the seeds may have already germinated and you're just wasting your time trying to stop them from germinating.
Okay, then.
Okay.
I'll keep an eye out for it. Thanks very much, Charlie.
You're very welcome.
Good call. Thank you so much, Ken.
Well, and you know what? Yeah. If I think about it next year, Frank, remind me to say, okay,
forsythia,
I was in Scarborough area and I saw the forsythia blooming. Or I could certainly tell you when it's blooming in Richmond Hill and down here. So it'll be always a little...
It's a good little guidepost, though, eh?
Oh, it is. It's great. Yeah, no, you need those. That's the little indicators for sure.
Well, I need my bell. Look at this.
Oh, good.
The bell is for Bill, and that's it. Bill's in Waterloo. Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Good morning.
I've got a question about a tree in my front yard. Mm-hmm. It's about 35 feet tall, kind of a gnarly bark. It used to have small leaves and red berries on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And the berries would last all winter, and the birds would feed on it and so forth. About July or August, all the leaves fell off. There were no berries. The tree is completely bare. And some parts of the bark are covered with a whitish-green, I don't know, mold or something. And I'm wondering, did this tree die, or...
Well, you know, it sounds like a mountain ash. So if you look that up on the web, mountain ash trees, you can double check that that was what it was. They are a great tree, but they do have a real susceptibility to some diseases. And it usually starts with some cracking in the bark or something that goes on. And before you know it, whether it's bacteria or it's fungal, a disease enters the plant through damage to the bark. And before you know it, the tree, over a period, takes 2 or 3 years, but they will often just die. So two options. One is, you know, take a really good look at whether it might be seriously gone. The one option would be to call a local arborist, like Davy Tree or something like that, and they can send somebody to your property and give you an analysis on what to do next.
Okay.
It might be no hope, or there might be some hope that a professional could tell you when they see it face to face. That's probably your best bet. Just because a tree like that is, you know, it's big and it's got big importance in your garden. If it isn't alive, then removal will be a good idea, just because, of course, dead trees do become dangerous.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Well.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. And, hey, come on back next week.
Okay. Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, you could do that, yeah. For gosh sakes. One final caller, I do believe, and that would be Shirley in Brampton. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Just one quick question. Mm-hmm. I have a cedar hedge I want to cut back. How much can you cut it back this time of year?
At the most, one-third.
One-third?
Is it a height thing or a width?
Yeah, it is. It's about 10 feet tall, and it's getting too big.
Yeah, that's you really do have to stay on top of cedar hedges. They can really outgrow their place.
Oh, they can.
So, yeah, you could take a couple of feet off the top.
Okay.
The best time to be trimming cedar in terms of the widths, particularly for the width, would be when it's actively growing, which would be next June.
So just cut the top and not the sides.
Yeah, cut the top, not the sides, because you're not going to see that blunt cut that you're going to make, because it will not fill in until it actively grows again next spring. All right?
Okay, that sounds good.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, and have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for all the great calls.
No kidding.
Yeah, my golly.
Lots of calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you're buying breakfast.
Yeah, you worked. You really earned it today. Yeah, you know, 13 phone calls.
Wow, was that a record?
It matches. We had reached 13 callers at one point, but that's a lot of information you're disseminating, and we appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. You know,
so that I'm going to buy you breakfast,
steak and eggs.
Well, gee, no, just dry toast and
no, that was
a
last
of weak
week.
Coffee,
water and dry toast. So, what do you got going on?
Actually, well, I'll be back, of course, at 1 o'clock for Live in the City, and a little feature I'm having a good time with about, let's see, 1:45, 1:42, The Wonderful World of Wacky News. I source three unusual stories, and I've got three dandies to tell you about today.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, Frankie's Funny Bone at 2:30 and some absolutely wonderful music that we provide.
More about receding hairlines, I assume?
It could be. It could be. Yeah.
So here's a true fact. When rabbits are fat in October and November, expect a long, cold winter.
Oh.
There you go. So keep an eye on those fat rabbits. And
chubby rabbits. Keep an eye out for
what kind of winter we're going to have.
Okay.
Well, thank you, everybody, again, for all the great calls. And yes, indeed, my page is full of lots of information there. Thanks, Sebastian. Couldn't do it without him. And, of course, the ever-wonderful Frank Proctor. Couldn't do it without you either. Thanks, everybody. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.